season starts this week, what's going through your mind?
Just, you know, dotting the I's, crossing the T's is the easy way to say it, but it's pretty complex. There's a lot of little things that go into making sure guys got the right shoes and uniform stuff and hats aren't falling off and things like that. And then, two, you want to make sure there's nothing that you haven't covered or covered well enough that you could get exposed on opening day. And I think at the end of the day, we all want no regrets in all facets of our lives. So it's kind of making sure you get that on the front end. But at the same time, it is refreshing to know that it is early in the season, and we've encouraged our guys to make mistakes. So we got something to work on in practice and also have a way to make progress towards SEC play, which, you know, will not be for 4.5 weeks.
As the team put together the run it did to end last season, there was so much chatter about Tennessee. And some of it was that, well, watch out for you. You're going to be somewhere else next year. And if not you, then Frank Anderson definitely is not going to be back in Knoxville. What does it mean to you to have this same staff again for another year unchanged?
It's entirely gratifying in a way that you can't really describe it. But the main thing is these are the guys that I want to be around every day. And much to the frustration of everyone that knows me, including the administration, it took a long time to put this group together. And I mean, starting with Chad, who came into the office, I think day two or day three, and said, I really want to work here. I'm a Vol fan. And said, hold your horses. I don't even know where I'm sleeping tonight. You know, it was a lot going on at once. But, you know, I feel the people that you add around you is incredibly important, and it says a lot about you no matter what you're doing. So recruiting is important to me, and it's important to have a roster that reflects what you're looking for and matches your style. But more importantly, the guys that don't come and go every year with graduation or the draft or anything else are the coaches. And I think we're all in it for the long haul and want to see this thing through. Everyone's got a lot invested personally now that some time has passed, and undoubtedly has a lot invested on the field.
Is there anything that stands out to anything that you've changed from one year to the next? Have you changed in terms of approach and how you want pitchers or hitters or defenders to train? Are there any adjustments in evolution as to how you've worked the program one year to the next as you get ready for this third year?
I think there's been things we've tried to, at first, educate ourselves on this place and the conference and everything else, and then tweak some things along the way. I don't think you drastically want to change anything. You just want to continue to look to improve. And you know, something I think we've been able to do is add in a little bit more of the mindset, call it mental game if you want, with our guys, because we have gotten our guys to adopt the philosophy of this is what we're trying to do on bunt plays or simple fundamentals. And you know, you go across the board and you're checking as many boxes as possible, and I don't even think we've checked all of them, including the facility and recruiting, but we're getting there. And then once you do that, you want to make each one of them as good as possible. But, you know, even along the way, you can't ignore any areas that you can improve upon. So really, it's just been subtle adjustments. And again, I think we've been able to kind of touch more on that mental piece. And me personally, I've kind of said too, I've been able to step back and kind of fulfill my role and not worry about others because of that assistant coaching staff being so strong, like you mentioned. And now not only are they talented, but they've got some experience too.
With the continuity that's been in place since you've been in Knoxville, what does it mean to the roster that they still get to work with Q, and that they're working defense with Ross Kivett, and they're working on their hitting with Josh Elander, and of course continuing to develop as pitchers with Frank Anderson? What does that kind of continuity mean to those that are climbing the ladder as Tennessee players?
There's a huge amount of synergy in those kids' lives, and also how they go about their daily work. And then it's kind of got a multiplication process, you know, almost like a pyramid scheme. You got the freshmen learning from the sophomores and the juniors because they know everything there is that comes with being a catcher with Coach Elander or any other position. So that downstream effect, or however you want to term it, carries a lot of weight in that locker room. And it takes pressure off the coaches because, you know, every coach in the country right now is saying, hey, when the season starts, it's your team, or, you know, game day's your day, practice day's the coach's day, any of that cliche stuff. But it really is true that the best teams are the ones that are led by players and they handle a lot of things on their own or take initiative, you know, with self-direction and, you know, coming from their peers. And this group is the first group that we've been here that really displays all that.
Tennessee finished third in the East last year, picked fourth in the East this year, which is the highest projection for Tennessee since you've been the coach. What does that mean in terms of just a benchmark? How much of that do you either focus on or share or talk about with your players?
Yeah, it's a good question. Unfortunately, it's a bad answer. I don't think it means anything. Preseason stuff is, especially in our sport, if you can shoot, you can shoot. And no disrespect to basketball, because kids make a lot of improvements and adjustments, and they grow older. You saw our guys get much stronger in the weight room that were upperclassmen last year. The kids that are here now will do that. I'm just using that as an analogy because there's more factors with hitting a baseball and throwing a baseball that many people can't control. And, you know, a guy that no one's ever heard of is going to hit over 300 this year in this league. And a guy who was throwing mid-80s last year is going to be throwing low to mid-90s and be one of the best pitchers in the conference. I don't know who those guys are, but those are kind of two of the known things that are going to happen amongst a lot of unknowns. So in our sport in particular, I think it's good conversation piece. There are some things that are there. Maybe there's a little more respect for our program now, so that's a notch in our belt. But at the end of the day, after week one, it's all going to shake out. And then at the end of the year, it's going to be a totally new story.
You've already talked about that you've got – there are expectations that it's going to be fluid, whether it be the rotation, whether it be the lineup, whether it be who comes when out of the bullpen. Obviously, at the start of the season, you're looking for answers and you may not ask the right questions. But what does that do when you start the season in terms of matching your expectations for individuals to perform in the roles that they now find themselves or return in?
Again, I think it – provides incentive for everyone to be on their toes. I mean, no one has anything locked up at this point. There's a couple guys I'd say are mainstays in the lineup, and we know what we did with the catching last year, but literally every single person on the roster is on their toes, and you know, they all want to solidify themselves at their favorite position, at their favorite spot in the order, and they want to be out there every day. On the other hand, it's pretty exciting to know to the park, come to the park and know that you might be in the lineup, and if you're not, you might come off the bench. And if you're not, if you're kind of into it in pregame and all those things, you'll be more prepared the next day when you got a pretty good chance to play if you're not playing today, if you're one of those guys. So I think there's a cool factor to it. And also for the coaching staff and for us, it really kind of lends itself to let's peak, you know, first weekend of the SEC play. Let's make that our first kind of peak along the climb of what will be a bigger mountain. But I think it gives us some freedom to experiment, freedom to fail, and really kind of makes the whole thing fun, if you ask me, that we have these options as opposed to being kind of locked into one thing.
That does have to be such a feeling that wasn't here before, and that is how much competition there's been and continues to be in this build-up to this week's season opener. What's it like to be in this vantage point compared to, say, where it was when you started, when you were looking for nine solid ones?
It's different. I think on the whole, the staff and the program has a little more room for error because we kind of now know who we are, what we want to become. There's fewer unknowns. We know the roster better. So there's that sense of comfortability. And then the other thing is we don't have to rely on any one or two guys, or, you know, if it's not working out at a certain position, there's guys we can slide over and, you know, work with them all year long and get them better. So, and I think the key positions on the field, we've got several options. So there's a lot of comfortability that comes with, I guess some insecurity about saying this guy is that or this. So it's a conundrum a little bit when you talk about it in the office, but options are a good thing to have in many facets, and this is one of them.
A lot of folks are talking about Alaric Solari and what he means to this program, represents, because he's earned first-team All-American, first-team All-SEC, preseason recognition. And, of course, that really doesn't mean a hill of beans, but what does it mean in terms of him handling now what will be very much a focal point in the other team's game plan?
Yeah, you know, I've been in the other dugout as a pitching coach before, and it stresses you out when you got to worry about a guy with a tremendous amount of power or speed or a clutch hitter or a guy who fights off two strikes or gets a lot of hit by pitches. So you want to be able to have as many of those guys in the order as possible. And, you know, Alaric is one just based off the numbers last year. People are going to be concerned with him, and it might actually play into his favor. There might be days he's not so confident, but the guy's less confident on the mound. But all in all, it's nice to have a couple guys that we see as centerpieces for the lineup, and he's one of several. We'll move him around a couple different times during the year and hopefully find the ideal spot for him. But when he's locked in and he's under control, he's a very emotional kid in a positive way. He's passionate, and he wants to do well for his team, and then, trust me, he wants to do well for himself in that one-on-one battle of hitter versus pitcher. But you got to control your emotions no matter who you are. And when he's doing that and he's locked in, it's pretty special. So it's up to his teammates, himself, and definitely the coaches to make sure he's in that gear as many games as possible this year, and it'll be fun to watch.
Garrett Crochet also mentioned preseason All-American. Redmond Walsh also getting some attention, second team from the baseball writers, and also a part of the preseason Stopper of the Year watch list. You've talked about the great admiration for how hard Redmond has worked, as well as Garrett, no doubt about it. But what's it like to see those two young men get that kind of attention, again, going into this season that starts this week?
Right. It's well earned, and Garrett got a lot of compliments as a freshman for what his potential was. So to see him kind of fulfill that potential as of late as a person and a player has been exciting. But Redmond is a kid who, you know, kind of snuck up on us, then snuck up on his opponents, snuck up on his teammates a little bit. He would be the first to admit that to you. But he hasn't really changed. I mean, he's still the same Redmond, and he works his butt off, so he's improved. But I think those accolades are deserved. It's a notch in his belt, along with some other things that he's gotten out of the program. But again, he's not going to change. And I don't think he's the type of guy that has to be a hidden gem. The other guys can study him as much as they want. I think they're still going to have their work cut out for him when they battle with him. And that's what it's going to be is with Redmond, it's going to be a battle, and he's going to bring his best. And if you bring your best, then it'll be really fun to watch. And I'd like to think more times than not, it's going to be in our favor, but new season. So we'll see.
What is your greatest confidence with this group?
I think their personality and the new air about them that maybe hasn't been in the building the last couple of years. There's a lot of downtime in this sport. There's a lot of travel. There's a lot of games per week. There's a lot of repetitions. All these things need to be handled with some intensity and focus and all the coach stuff. But also, it just needs to be handled as a dude. And, you know, I think we got some good ones in that locker room. And, you know, the GPA was something we harped on for a lot of reasons. But one of them is just they kind of came together and said, let's do well academically. Part of it is so they get the little carrot at the end. But it's just one sign of a group that's got some good chemistry and some good personality to them. And any baseball team, I mean, the Phillies were a bunch of whack jobs with Lenny Dykstra and all those guys and Darren Dalton, but it's just one team that sticks out in my mind that had a lot of personality to them, and it went a long way. And of course there was some talent sprinkled in, but you can't name one team in our league that's not gonna have talent. We've all got that. So there's got to be some X factors, and those are the ones that bring confidence to me.
Is there a greatest concern?
You know, it's been, you know, the kind of the earmark, or, you know, I don't want to call it staple because I don't want it to be our staple, but we've had guys get staples, you know, at the hospital. So I think the biggest thing is we want to see these kids be healthy and want to see our opponents be healthy and let them all go out on the field and run around like kids and do the best they can. And at the end of the year, we'll see who the All-Americans are and who the regional teams are and Omaha teams and things like that. But, you know, it's difficult when you see guys like Will Heflin, you know, not getting to start his senior year the way that he wants to. But he's just one example of a real good story that'll be written, and he'll join that roster when the time is right. But those frustrations in the fall, you know, and came a little bit in the winter, and then a mono deal with Jason Rackers have seemed to be a little too many for this team. So again, hopefully we're getting them all out of the way before day one.
The steps that would allow fans to get from right field onto the field look fantastic. How have the improvements to the facility gone? Have they gone as planned? And what do you want out of the fan experience for the 2020 season?
Yeah, internally, the improvements have been steady. There's some new signage in the players' areas, and they really enjoy them, and they have purpose. We intentionally waited so that they had some significance and some meaning to them, and I think they've adopted that. A lot of it revolves around the tradition at Tennessee as well as Tennessee baseball. But yeah, externally, the seats, are going to change soon in the right field area, maybe even mid-season, if not at the very end. But the steps next to them have changed everyone's world with camp and practice and foul balls. And so that's just one little thing. So we want to keep just making subtle improvements in recruiting and how we play and the facility. But to more directly answer your question about the experience we want is, we want the alcohol deal to add to their experience. Of course, we don't want any hooligans or anything like that, but it's a sport that's slower. So there's a lot of people that enjoy a hot dog, and there's a lot of people that enjoy a beer with their hot dog. So for that to be handled the right way, and what I mean by that is not drinking responsibly, which everybody should do, but more just being creative with it and giving some people some good options and areas to go and, add to the flavor of the park a little bit, because it is a great park we have. It's not as big as others, but I think we can make it an experience that's equal to others.
How excited are you for game one, and what is it like when this new dawn of a season arrives each season?
It's not here yet, which is a buzzkill answer, but it will be on game day. I think for now it's kind of, I joked before on air that, it's kind of like cramming for a final. You go get your snacks and your Mountain Dew at 7-Eleven and you get it all crammed in. But if you feel like you've prepared well enough by the time you make it to that final, whether you slept or not, if you are prepared, it's a really good feeling, and you just kind of let your knowledge spill out on the paper. And I think regardless with this coaching staff, that's how I'll feel on Friday is whatever lineup we do pencil in, we as a group will let our knowledge spill out onto the paper and see how it goes. And the fun thing about playing a 56-game season is it's not football where one game means everyone freaks out or gets entirely excited. It's a Rubik's Cube game of, adjustments and make it as right as you can so you're playing your best ball in May.
Well, it's always exciting when that first pitch for a new season rolls around, and it's great to see everybody in the place that they were in staff-wise at the end of last year, at the start of this one. Best of luck to you and the Big Orange.
Amen to that on the staff, and thank you so much.